It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In Acts chapter 21, we left off with verses 7 through 14. And in those verses, 7 through 14, we read of how Paul and his companions sailed from Tyre to Ptolemais. And they greeted the brethren and remained one day. And the next day, they went to Caesarea. And this is according to Acts chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. And then we see that while at Caesarea, Paul and his companions went to Philip's house. If you remember in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, we see that Philip was one of the seven chosen. We look back and we see that this was the institution of deacons in a local church. And then in chapter 21 and verse 9 of Acts, we see that Philip's daughters prophesy. And we continue reading in verses 10 and 11. We see a prophet by the name of Agabus. And this person came down from Judea and prophesied. And we see that Agabus took Paul's belt, and they called it a girdle. It's called a girdle in the Word of God. He took Paul's belt and bound his hands and feet. And of course, this was to indicate what would happen to Paul. And this was revealed by the Holy Spirit. Well, he would be delivered to the Gentiles. And then we read on in verse 12, and we see that both his traveling companions, this is Paul's traveling companions, and those in Caesarea pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem, Acts chapter 21 and verse 12. Well, then Paul answered. He said, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus," Acts 21 verse 13. And then we read in verse 14 that they ceased pleading with Paul and asked that the will of the Lord be done. And remember, I mentioned the last time that we need to be praying in the will of the Lord. Lord, what's your will? What would you have me to do? Or, Lord, I'm praying for a certain thing in my life, and I pray that your will would be done. Well, we move on now in chapter 21 of the book of Acts, and we pick up with verse 15. And we'll also read verse 16 here. We see that Paul is traveling to Jerusalem. It says, "And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem." Let me remind you that Paul's being accompanied by individuals. And I believe one of those individuals was Luke, the physician who is the one who has written the book of Acts. Well, then in verse 16 of Acts 21, it says, There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one nation of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. Well, they were accompanied by some of the disciples of Caesarea, and lodging was to be with this person, a nation of Cyprus, and he was an early disciple. And we see this, and we reason that perhaps that Paul was to stay with a deeply rooted Christian who, like Paul, could not be intimidated by anyone. And Paul's trouble was to come. And I believe that Paul would draw inspiration from this person and possibly some strength. Sometimes we need the company of a person in the flesh. Maybe that person is an older Christian who will give us courage and tell us things that we need to know, and to help us to understand that no matter what comes along in our life, that Jesus Christ is always there. He will take care of us. Well, notice also that Paul and the disciples were told in prophecy that trouble was coming before the apostle even would get to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21 and verse 10. As we look on now, we see the Jerusalem brethren in Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 25. Let's read that together. And let me remind you that it's good if at all possible, to have your Bible and have it open so that you can follow along with me as I read the scriptures. Acts chapter 21, verse 17 through 25. "And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly, And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly, and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Well, as we read this, we realize that Paul has been confronted with something that is coming into the Jewish belief, the Jewish belief is coming into the Christian belief there. And we're going to see how this works out with Paul as he goes and he starts speaking into the temple and to the people. Well, notice Paul is arrested in the temple, and once again, Acts chapter 21 and verse 26 says, Then Paul took the men, and the next day, these are the ones that the Jews around him wanted him to take to get purified in the temple. And it says, Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Now, we spoke of this before, how that someone would say, why did Paul go into the temple? Why did he make a practice of going into the temples? Well, he did this because this is where the people were at. He wanted to speak to as many people as possible, and so should we. Once again, we go one-on-one when we're witnessing for the Lord, but there's times when we can actually speak to more than one. Well, this was Paul. He wanted to speak to as many as possible so that more people could come to a saving knowledge. Well, in verses 27 through 29 of Acts 21, we see some Asians here. It says, And when the 7 days were almost ended, this is Acts 21, 27 through 29. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they saw Paul in the temple, they stirred up all the people and laid hands on Paul, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further brought Greeks also into the temple, and also hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Well, we read of Trophimus in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. But you see, the Asian Jews, they stirred up these people that were there as Paul was speaking and as he was in the temple. And they stirred up the crowd, and they seized Paul and brought charges against him. Well, the Jews also charged that Paul had brought Greeks into the temple and defiled the place. They had seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with Paul in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. They thought possibly this had happened. Well, in Acts chapter 21 and verse 30 through 36, we see that Paul is seized. It says, And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came up on the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him!" Well, in these verses, we see that the people seized Paul, and they drew him, or in other words, they dragged him out of the temple. And as they sought to kill him, word came to the Roman commander of the uproar. And when the Jews saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Well, the commander took Paul and bound him with chains, and he asked Paul what he had done. And when he couldn't get a straight answer, he took him to the barracks. And whether he couldn't get a straight answer because of this commander couldn't get a straight answer because of all the people around, I don't know. But he seemed to think that he was not getting a good answer here. So he took Paul to the barracks. And when they reached the stairs of the barracks, Paul had to be carried due to the violence of the mob. The mob wanted to kill him. Paul wants to speak. In Acts chapter 21, verses 37 through 39 here, it says, "And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, 'May I speak unto thee?' Who said, 'Canst thou speak Greek? Art thou that Egyptian which before these days madest in an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?' But Paul said, 'I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people.'" You see, this man had Paul confused with someone else. He was not who he thought Paul was. And we see in these verses that Paul wanted to speak to the commander, and Paul, once again, is allowed to speak, because we read in verse 40, "And when he had given him a license," this commander told Paul it was all right to speak, "Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying," now the next time we're going to pick up here where we're leaving off, but keep this in mind. We see Paul was in a fix. He was there, and the people were against him. The people wanted to kill him. The people had beaten him. The people wanted to do things to him. They wanted to tear him apart. And many times we find ourselves in a situation, well, not necessarily that people want to tear us apart, but that it seems like people are against us. And I'm speaking against us, the saved people. Saved people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Sometimes it seems that all people are against us. Well, let me say this, that you and God are the majority. You are serving the living God, the one who has saved you and made you fit for heaven. And don't you ever forget that God loves you, and that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what comes along, Jesus Christ is still a victor. And through Jesus Christ, we are also victors. So what if we die? So what if we get killed? It's all the better for us because we'll be with the Lord. And I'm not telling you to kill yourself, and I'm not telling you to have somebody kill you. I'm telling you that when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus Christ, and it'll be worth it all.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.